I don't have the notes for you on the screen, so there's no point in looking at those because we ran out of time this morning. With all the reconstruction and putting things back together, we just kind of ran out of time, and that's okay. You're following along in my August series, and you can write this down if you'd like to. This is the theme of the August series, Learning to Trust God in Every Circumstance. And today's title, as a theme verse in your worship folder, is How to Give Thanks in All Circumstances. Take a look at that scripture verse again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sometimes we say that's probably one of the hardest verses in the Bible to really obey, isn't it? Give thanks in all circumstances. Patty and I went to a movie on Friday night called Beautifully Broken. How many have heard of it? Beautifully Broken. Wow. I highly recommend it. For adults, though, not necessarily for children. There's some graphic scenes in there about the violence of the war in Rwanda between the Hutus and the Tutsis, and it's visualized. It's not graphic, but it's visualized, and so I think adults and young adults could handle it, but certainly not children. But in this movie, it's a story of three families. William from Rwanda, and he was a Tutsi, and they were the ones being massacred there by the Hutus, and then a Hutu young man who saved his life, and a man in Nashville, and how they all came together eventually with stories of marvelous reconciliation, just amazing. With all the pain in their lives of violence done, William taking his family and running for their lives, trying to escape the violence and the just the horrible things being done to families, William's mother perishing cruelly, viciously, and able to forgive. But one moment in that film caught my attention, and that was when William was praying and was just asking God, if I can remember his words correctly, just asking God, you know, there's got to be some sense in all this. There's got to be some good coming out of this. So kind of help me to see why. And indeed, in the end, there indeed is. For all the pain that they experienced, William and Randy from Nashville and Randy's daughter as well, you'll see that in the movie, there's good, good, good. They came out of all that pain. And how that applies to our passage today is give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is optional, right, in the Christian life. No, this is the will of God. No debating here. This is the will of God. Patty and I have been counseling younger pastor and his wife, and they've been going through a difficult time in their church. There's a bully or two in that church that wants them out. They want to take control of the church and wrest it away from the leadership and wrest it away from the pastor. And so Patty and I have been praying with them and counseling them and visiting with them. And praise God, at the business meeting, the leadership stood firm, did what God wanted them to do. Pastor stood firm, did what God wanted him to do. The bullies were outvoted, and so they walked, and it was hard, really, really, really hard for the pastor, but especially the wife, to hear the personal attacks against them, vicious attacks, you know, questioning their motives even. What in the world? And how do you give thanks in the middle of people attacking you in a public meeting, attacking your motives? How do you give thanks to God in a situation like that? Well, pastor and his wife now, on the other side of it, can see the blessing of all that they have gone through and the good that can happen. And so that's the question we're asking today. How, indeed, can we give thanks in all circumstances? I wish I had this on the screen for you. I don't, but here's the main point for today. Thanking God for every gift we have and situation in our life is our way of appreciating God's generosity and fatherly care. I'll say it again. Thanking God for every gift of heaven He gives to us. Family, food, lodging, everything He gives is our way of appreciating God's generosity and fatherly care for us. And learning how to give thanks is simply a matter of knowing that there is an extremely positive outcome of any severe trial that we are facing. Let's look at this together and go to some scripture passages. We've already looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but let's begin by saying this. It does matter to God that we express our appreciation for every blessing and for every unknown outcome of every trial. So thank God for what He is doing in our lives. We can ask ourselves this question: why does God care whether or not He gets my thanks? Does it matter to Him? I mean, is God kind of a petulant God who says, boy, you didn't thank me for that last gift I gave you, and I'm kind of mad at you today, and is that what God is waiting for? Is God unhappy? Is He upset because He was supposed to get thanks and didn't get thanks? No, wait a minute. Think this through. The answer is this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make God feel any better. That's a huge thought. It doesn't make God feel any better about Himself if we do or don't express our gratitude. There's a doctrinal thought called the all-sufficiency of God. You can write that in your notes. The all-sufficiency of God. God does not need anything other than Himself to make Him happy, to be blessed. He doesn't need us to be blessed. He doesn't need our thanks to feel better about Himself and to increase His self-esteem. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 50. As we do some study together, Psalm 50, verses 9 through 12, says some of these things. Psalm 50, 50th Psalm, verses 9 through 12. And here's what the psalmist is saying for God. God is revealing Himself to the psalmist, and these are inspired holy words. Not for your sacrifices, verse 9. Do I rebuke you? Brought your sacrifices to the temple, paid your offerings. That's good. Supposed to do that in obedience to the law I've given to you. So I'm not rebuking you, God says, for your sacrifices. But you know, your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. You think you're giving to me something? You're not, because I own it all anyway. It's all mine. I gave it to you. It's mine. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world and all its fullness is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer this instead. Offer to God a sacrifice of what? Thanksgiving. Be thankful. Worship me in gratitude and express it. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. I'll show you what I can do. And then, by doing that, by calling on my name and by asking for my help and showing the world I came through at the last minute, by doing all of that, you shall glorify me. because the world will know and see what I did. Or 1 John 4:8, you don't need to turn there, but it's just a short verse, and you all know it when I say it. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. The very essence of God is that He is love. You can't increase it. His love for Himself, His love for the Son, His love for the Spirit cannot be added to or increased, because He's the source of all love. So there's nothing we can add to God. He is totally self-sufficient. So He's not waiting in heaven for our thanks. You can't make Him feel any better by doing it. So it's not. It's not for God's benefit. Giving thanks to God for our benefit, not His, ours. It pleases God to see Himself in us, in His people, expressing thanks. God's a grateful God, grateful to Himself for doing what He does, but He sees Himself in thanksgiving offered by our lips to Him. He says, I like what I see. I see my children being grateful. I see my children being thankful. That pleases my heart. Just as a parent encourages in his child and children thankfulness, gratitude, why do we do it? Are we upset when they don't? We say, we just fed you a great dinner. We just paid for your college education. Maybe can't do that. But we just did all this for you, and you're just kind of just taking it for granted, and you're just kind of saying, yeah, you know, no big deal. Why would a parent be upset at that moment in time? It's for the child. The child is missing a very important character trait in their life. And that's what the parent is trying to instill by encouraging gratitude and thankfulness in a child's heart. It's the same thing. It's what God does with us. He is encouraging us. That's why it says it's the will of God to be thankful. Thankful. A couple things I want you to write down. I think it's very important that you do. So take out your notes. Take out a piece of paper if you don't have the bullet in front of you. Three sentences, simple sentences, but write them down. Write them down. Start with number one, a thankful person. A thankful person is a happy person. Pure and simple. A thankful person is a happy person. And a delight to be around. Who wants to be around sad people? Who wants to be around bitter people? Who wants to be around complainers? Nobody does. So a happy person, or a thankful person, is a happy person. And it's another reflection of God. God's a happy God. God has a lot of fun. God's joyful. God's not angry at you. He's not bitter. He's a happy God. He's a blessed God. Sentence number two. Sentence number one, a thankful person is a happy person. Sentence number two, a thankful family is a happy family. A thankful family is a happy family. Sitting around your dinner table every day, having blessed it, having given thanks to God, and the conversation flows, ebbs and flows across the dinner table, what is the topic of your conversation? 90% ought to be gratitude. 90% ought to be thankfulness. Look what God's done in my life today. Look what God's done in our world today. Look what God is doing. Too often, conversations drift towards the negative or the news, which can really get you down. So a thankful family is a happy family and a delight to be around. People want to be around those kind of families. They'd like to have dinner with them because it's a lot of fun and a lot of laughter. So a thankful family is a happy family. Sentence number three. Sentence number one, thankful person, happy person. Sentence number two, thankful family is a happy family. Sentence number three, a thankful church is a happy church. A thankful church is a happy church. We celebrate things like this. We celebrate God's goodness. We celebrate the fact that God enables us to be able to give and to make a living and to decorate His house, not our house, His house. I love it. The other day, someone had spilled some cupcake on our brand new carpeting out here, and you know, I was tempted to think, oh no, brand new carpeting, cupcake stains. And someone said to me, the house is made for the people, not people for the house. Isn't that great? Thanks for saying that. House is made for the people, like the Sabbath is made for the people, not the people for Sabbath. Very important principle. So a thankful church is a happy church and a delight to be around. So another reflection of God's personality, of joy and happiness in His life, I want you to turn to Psalm 92, would you? Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. So we focus on this theme of giving thanks to the Lord. Verses 1 through 4. Psalm 92, it is good. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, which we did today, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. This is not just twice a day, what he's trying to say, 24 hours a day, you know, all day long. To the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. May that be true of you as well as me. So let's talk about learning how to give thanks, because it's not always easy. How do I give thanks in a very, very difficult situation? How do I give thanks when I lost at a job interview to somebody else? How do I give thanks when I've been fired? How do I give thanks when things aren't going my way as I ask God to make things happen? How do I do that? You know the situations in your life, and it's hard, 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 hard. So how do we do that? How? Number one, there's two ways to do it. I think I have a favorite of one of the two, but we'll get to that in a minute. Number one, how do I give thanks in a difficult circumstance? Difficult situation is really hard to bear. Here it is. Know the outcome is likely to be wonderful. Know the outcome is likely to be positive. Know the outcome that God has in mind for you, and that difficult, difficult, difficult situation is likely to be for your good and produce in you the kind of character and person that pleases God and makes you the kind of person that you can live with much better because you are growing in Christ. How do you say thanks in the midst of a Rwandan war of atrocity? 800,000 Tutsis were killed and massacred by another tribe, and it was all demonic, totally demonic. How do you do that? By believing that the outcome is going to be better or good. So that's number one. Number one, James chapter 1. If you want to go there, fine. Otherwise, just listen. James chapter 1. 2, 3, and 4, verses 2, 3, 4, count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Oh, we need that. We need that steadfastness, that core of Christian maturity, that causes us not to waver in our faith, but we are going to hang on forever to the good God that we have, steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect in your life, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's what God's doing to you in difficult situations. Thank you, congregation, for personally sharing some difficult situations in your life that God has marvelously, miraculously working in. Thank you for sharing those things. So that's number one, knowing the outcome. The outcome is going to be good. The outcome is going to be a positive thing. The outcome is going to make me better. But number two, and I think this is my favorite of the two, it's good for me, no doubt. Number one, knowing the outcome is going to be better. But number two, this is my favorite way of looking at this, we're going to make God look bigger. We're going to make God look bigger. So how do I give thanks in all circumstances when the circumstances are very, 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 very difficult to get through? Number one, know the outcome is going to be a positive thing. God's in charge. God is orchestrating all the events of my life. God is working me through. He's designing that particular trial in my life so that I'm molded and shaped and groomed for something better that I even like in my own life. That's a good thing. But number two, make God look bigger. What do I mean by that? We're going to magnify God. Turn your Bibles, you have to turn there now, to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verses 30 through 33. Love the Psalms, I know you do too. Beautiful, rich, worship. Here's the psalmist. I will praise the name of God with a song. I'm going to worship. And I hope there's some non-believers worshiping with me, so when they hear me sing, maybe in Bethlehem, you know, maybe there's some non-believers in Bethlehem, David is, I'm going to sing a song of God's goodness and greatness, so I'm going to magnify him. Circle that word if you want to, mark up your Bibles, that's okay, it's kind of hard to do an electronic Bible in your phone, but I will magnify, that's the key word that we're going to look at right now. I'm going to make God look bigger, I'm going to magnify him, says the psalmist. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to make him look bigger with thanksgiving. By thanking him, even for a difficult situation that I find myself in right now, I'm going to make God look big, powerful, majestic, and holy. I'm going to magnify him with thanksgiving. And it says, this will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs that we offer to him as sacrifices. He wants to hear it from my lips. He wants to hear it from my heart. And so what's going to happen when I do that? Well, when the humble see it, they'll be glad. The ones who are struggling like I struggle with, the ones who are bowing before the Lord God in heaven and not prideful but subservient to the Lord, when they see and hear my song and my words of thankfulness, they're going to be glad. So all of you who seek God, says the psalmist, who are pursuing him, let your hearts revive with the words of thanksgiving in my heart. I'll tell you again and again how God got me through. And David says a lot of that in the Psalms, how God did it. I'm going to tell him, thank you, God, for saving me again and again and again from the hand of Saul, from the hand of the enemies, from the hand of the Philistines. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. So every time we thank God in public, thank God to a non-believer, thank God to a work in front of a work associate, thank God, say, hey, you mind if here we're at lunch and I this might be odd to you, but we like to pray for lunch, you know, so just kind of let me pray a blessing over our lunch and let the non-believer just listen in. Thank God. Thank God. Maybe something that person that is invited to your lunch is going through. And let them hear that God is at work on a minute-to-minute basis in your life. So how? How do we give thanks to God in difficult, difficult situations and circumstances? Number one, knowing the outcome is going to be good. Number two, we're going to magnify God in front of non-believers. That is so cool. So cool. We're on a mission. If we hold it in and we complain and we're grumpy and we're just kind of struggling through this situation on our own ability and not asking for his help, and when we get it, not saying thank you for your help, that doesn't magnify God. Doesn't magnify God. So, I've got a bunch of things. Don't write these down. We'll put some on the website if you want to write them down. Here's a bunch of things to be thankful for. Here's a bunch of things you can thank God every day for. All right? Let's go through them real quickly. Number one, you have the free gift of complete forgiveness forever. Forever. The free gift of complete forgiveness forever. Never having to pay for your sins ever, ever, ever again. Romans 6:23. Love it. And Philippians 4:19, all your needs, all your earthly needs will be provided for you. My God shall supply all my needs. Why are you worrying? Live in faith, thank God. God's going to give you grace to handle every situation in life that you need, 2 Corinthians 9:8. God's going to complete, here's the best, God's going to complete the good work he started in you. So he started with the rough person, the rough you, and there was a whole lot of work to do. And so he says, right, in Philippians 1:6, God will complete the work he's begun in you. So salvation is a process. And I have to understand what I mean by that. Okay, so your conversion is a moment, but your salvation continues because you're being saved from your bad habits, saved from your addiction, saved from all that in your life. You want change, so God's going to complete that work. Going to make you a finished product. You can be raised from the dead forever and ever. Isn't that cool? Someday you get to see Jesus face to face. That's really super cool. And we'll be free from sin forever, forever. And you'll have God forever. You have God right there. The light of the holy city as your exceeding joy. In your presence is fullness of joy, says the psalmist. Well, we experience some of that now, but later, in your presence, is fullness of joy forever. In other words, joy as a concept is something that is underneath happiness, obviously, is like a flowing river current, but that current needs something to add to it. In order to keep my joy bubbling up and feeling good day by day. And so that word from the psalmist says, in the presence of God, there's going to be something adding to my joy forever, ever and ever and ever. That means something new about God that I did not know yesterday, that I know today, and he's going to reveal himself to me for an infinite amount of time. Wow. Does that boggle your mind? It should. There is no end to God. So that we say, boy, now I know you and I'm getting kind of bored with knowing you. There's no end to that. So into infinity in the future, there's always something new about God that's going to delight your heart and provide that joy for you. In your presence is fullness of joy forever. Forever. Get back to the three sentences I put down. Made you write down earlier. Let's get back to those for application. Want to be a happy person? Be grateful. Be grateful. Be thankful. Gratitude is the feeling. I feel grateful. That's my heart. Feeling something. Gratefulness is the feeling. Thankfulness, if you want a definition of the difference between the two, is this. Gratefulness is the feeling. It's my heart feeling it. But thankfulness is expressing it. Okay? I got to express it. I got to say it. I got to speak to God or to other people, but I got to speak to God. So want to be a happy person? Be grateful. Want a happy family? Teach your children to be grateful and thankful. So if you're not praying before every meal, I know this is a Christian tradition that's kind of losing its popularity in the Christian circles. You need to get back to that habit of asking a blessing over your meal and thanking God for what he's provided for you. Did you know the word Eucharist means giving thanks? And so every time you ask a blessing over your your meal, your Eucharistu, grace. Thank you, God. This is grace coming from your throne to our table. Get back to that habit. Or, and at night, when you put your kids to bed or you go to bed, thank God for the day. Be grateful. Be grateful. Want a happy church? Full of life, full of fun. Encourage one another. Not to complain, but to be grateful and to be thankful. I was supposed to call the worship team up earlier, but I'll call them up now. Come on up, guys. Let's sing that song again. Hallelujah for the cross. Oh, I love the words. Love the melody. It's going to be an easy one to learn. Let's sing it together, shall we? Congregation, give them a second to get organized. Let's stand and sing Hallelujah for the cross.